You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
Essentially, I was talking to somebody who was impersonating a hiring manager. He asked me a series of social media marketing specific questions relating to my experience, literally looking at things on my resume, asking me to talk about those things. It seemed very legitimate.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Surfing Corporate, the podcast that helps you navigate tricky corporate waters. I'm Eileen Merciel.
And I'm Glenda Pakenins.
Today, we're going to get real about a part of work life that has been described by many as exhausting, depleting, soul-crushing, and powered by Satan.
Powered by Satan.
We're talking about the job search process.
Now, we've all heard success stories of people finding their dream jobs through platforms like LinkedIn and Indeed. But increasingly, we've been hearing about enticing job listings that turn out to be phantom posts for jobs that companies really have no intention of filling. Or even worse, are only scams by bad guys preying on people's desperation to land a job. Throughout today's episode, we're going to talk about why some of those companies purposely create fake job postings or ghost posts, positions that they never intend to fill, and we dive deep into the job scamming trend that's happening on major platforms like LinkedIn and Indeed.
We interview Callie Heim, a marketing professional who was scammed after applying for a job via LinkedIn's Easy Apply.
And we connect with Surfing Corporate's former guest, recruiting and HR expert Dan from HR, to get his take on these issues and, more importantly, what you can do to stay hypervigilant yet optimistic about your job search. This is Surfing Corporate.
This is Surfing Corporate.
We're going to break down today's topic into two parts. First, we're going to talk about the ghost jobs that legit companies post online, and then we're going to discuss the job scamming market. Let's begin with part one, ghost posts.
I had no idea this was a thing until I actually started researching this topic. I have a friend who's been job hunting for over a year, and she is really so frustrated because she goes through interview process and another interview process, and then they keep her hanging, and then they don't respond, and then later they'll reach out to say they've decided that they're not going to fill the role. And I can understand that happening once in a while, but when you hear there's like a repeated pattern of this going on and you hear different people talking about it, it's kind of like, you know, something's up here, something doesn't add up. So when we tackled this topic, we found that it is a thing and that there are reasons why some companies do this. Here are the most common reasons why.
Number one, the most common reason is to collect resumes. By posting a ghost job, a company can gather a pool of resumes from potential candidates, which could be used to populate a database for future hiring needs or to even just gauge the talent available within a specific market.
Reason number two is to gather competitive intelligence. So these ghost job listings can be used as a tool to gather info about competitors. How? By attracting applicants from rival companies, a company can learn about their competitors, their workforce skills, their organizational structure, how things work internally, which is pretty smart slash evil, but smart.
It's smart, but so evil, because imagine you're like, maybe you're desperate to get out of the position that you're in at a current company, and you go to the rival company and you're like mustering up the courage to get there and talk to somebody else from the competition. And then you realize that not only don't you ever get a call back, but that position wasn't ever really going to be filled and that they used you. That's horrible.
That exact thing happened to a friend of mine, and it was a rival company, and he went through, I don't know, probably 6 interviews with a bunch of important people within the company. And the questions they asked him were a lot related to how things work, how we did it. And he was, you know, excited about the job and not sharing necessarily private information, but just, you know, questions that gauge how were you structured? How many people were there? How did the process work? And then they left him like high and dry and never reach out to him again.
That is so wrong. That's like corporate evil doing on another level. Okay, so back to the top reasons why companies do these ghost posts. Number three is to maintain internal compliance requirements. Now, this means that some companies, especially the larger ones, they might have policies or legal obligations to post job openings, even if they already have selected a candidate for that position. Now, I've worked at companies where this has been the case, so I know how frustrating it could be for external candidates. I remember jobs would be posted. We knew who the candidate was. We knew who the person was. They're just going through the process, and I would get calls or emails from other people inquiring about that job. And it sucks to have to say, no, I'm sorry. They already have somebody. And they're like, well, why did they post it? I'm perfect for it. But at that company, it was legally just part of the company's. Yeah, it was company.
7 days.
That's how long it had to be out for. Exactly.
7 days. Clearly, you never saw.
Another pop culture reference that I don't get, Eileen.
The Ring.
Are you crazy? Of course I would never see that. That's insanity. Okay.
7 days. The fourth reason why companies may do this is to increase brand visibility and public relations. So when you post jobs, you create publicity and generate positive attention for a company. This tactic could enhance brand awareness or help project, you know, a positive image as an employer that's like really out there creating jobs, making the market hot for people.
And it's growing and it's doing well. Yeah there's a lot
You know, we're killing it. We're adding all these new hires. And there's really no intention to fill those positions.
No, I mean, I see from the company's perspective why they would want to do that, but it just sucks. It just is really discouraging.
Yeah. The Wall Street Journal posted a very detailed article about this topic. And there it said that another reason managers keep posting jobs that they're not really trying to fill is to appease overworked employees. So they think they're doing something to help you, you know, well, you know, help us coming soon. Help us coming soon.
Oh my God.
And then they have no intention.
Oh my God.
That again,
evil. Evil. It really is.
That's horrible. It's like, how can we get them like to take it down a notch? Let's just pretend that we're going to fill these.
But how do they not see that that's going to bite them in the ass?
It buys you time.
Like if you are an overworked team and you keep getting told that, hey, help is coming, and help never comes because it was never intended to come. And you find that out, you're like, fuck you.
But let's say, Glenda, in our world, let's say you have an upcoming upfront and people are dying because there's not enough people, but you have this milestone that you need to hit. You need to deliver on this one major thing. Then you say, help is coming. We just need you to really push through because help is coming. And you get them to do the thing that you really needed them to do. And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry.
That still sucks. That just is prolonging the pain. It's going to just
That's what I'm saying. It's horrible.
More bitter and angry.
I don't know. There's people in corporations that think like that. And again, that may lead to successful numbers and to hitting metrics, but it's just kind of shitty on the human side.
Yeah, very disgruntled employees later. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, for sure. Not great reviews on Glassdoor. The article also cited a survey from last summer of more than 1,000 hiring managers, and 27% reported having job postings up for more than 4 months. And among those who said they advertised job postings that they weren't actively trying to fill, close to half of them said that they kept ads up to give the impression that the company was growing, to the point that we had said before. It's optics. Yeah.
It's crazy, no? I mean, those numbers are that's a lot.
That is a lot.
A huge number.
And especially in these times, like with COVID, that so many companies were going down. It's like, how do you spin the perception that you're okay, that you're okay, that you're not going down? So I had no idea that this was going on. But when you read this, it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that happening.
No, I could totally see that happening. And the other thing I could see happening is that same article mentioned that sometimes it's just a basic lack of coordination within a company as to why a job post stays up when the job is no longer going to be filled. Mm-hmm. And I can totally relate to that. Sometimes there's so many moving pieces, so many people involved in an organization that the position gets filled or the position gets eliminated and nobody bothers to tell
the three
people down the line that need to know that to take the post down.
100%.
Now, they, at that article, they mentioned an example that at Wayfair, that was the big company that they cited as the example, you know, plans and budgets were constantly changing. And with so many teams involved in the hiring process, it was hard to ensure that the job postings that they had up stayed up to date. Now, to be fair, Wayfair said that they do intend to fill the jobs that they post and that they make every effort to treat candidates with care. But in their defense, they said that, you know, for a company of its size, sometimes removing those job postings takes time.
I can understand that.
I know that that happens. But what's take time? Like, is it a week? Is it a month? Because if you're telling me it takes months and you're talking 6 months, bro, come on.
Yeah.
That's not, no, I don't buy that
one. But this isn't, I think the point of this one is that it's not all necessarily evil. Sometimes it's just that, you know, people have a lot going on, things get lost along the line, but it really sucks for people who are searching for a job and are thinking that that's a possible job available for me.
Yeah, very disheartening.
So to avoid ghost ads, Scott Dabrowski, Vice President of Communications at Indeed.com, recommends that you look for detailed job descriptions, like a lot of specifics, schedules, clear list of responsibilities that may indicate that the employer is serious. And also, he suggests to check the timestamps on ads to see that they were posted recently. The good news is big online platforms like LinkedIn and Indeed are taking this seriously, and they are really trying to curb this issue. Each month, Indeed removes millions of job postings that don't meet its standards from the website, including inactive job postings. And LinkedIn said it proactively removed 87.1 million spam or scam content in the first half of 2022.
87.1 million pieces of scam content in six months.
Yes.
That is insane.
Scam or spam, but none of it's good. So right now it's time for an important surfing corporate disclaimer. It is important to emphasize that the majority of companies adhere to ethical practices and strive to provide genuine job opportunities. Fake job listings are generally the exception rather than the norm.
I love that. We're not crapping on anyone. We are just exposing a reality that's happening out there. But yes, thank you for that wonderful surfing corporate disclaimer.
Don't sue us.
Okay, so now let's move on to part two of this topic. And this is the crazy one. Like, this stuff blew my mind. Job scams. And these are job scams that are targeting job seekers on major professional networks. Mm-hmm. We're talking LinkedIn. We're talking Indeed. We're talking the big players. A recent 2023 article from Insider called Don't Be Scammed by Fake Job Listings states that approximately 14 million people encounter job scams annually. And that's according to the Better Business Bureau. The article states that these kinds of scams, which often involve fictitious job postings, interview with pseudo recruiters, and bogus onboarding processes designed to steal candidate sensitive information like bank account details, social security numbers, all of this increased during the pandemic. And that's according to data from the Federal Trade Commission. So people, if something sounds too good to be true, remember, it probably is. Work from home for a salary beyond your wildest dreams and get 1 month paid vacation? I don't think so.
Probably not true. And in 2022, an article by CNBC reported that Americans lost $68 million to job scams. Take that in.
That's
okay.
Obscene.
So, and again, it's with all these players out there with the post-COVID momentum of remote and like the way jobs worked and the hiring process shifted, they just really pounced on that and went all in to scam people and take their financial information. So let's briefly break down the top three most common types of employment scams that we should all be aware of. Number one. Fake job postings can take a variety of forms. So sometimes scammers will contact victims directly by phone, by text, or email. Other times, they'll imitate a reputable employer and create a fake website or fake job listings on job search sites. That is macabre. The biggest way scammers try to defraud victims is by posing as part of a staffing or temp agency, then requiring job seekers pay them a fee beforehand so they can get matched with a hiring manager for interviews. Another tactic is by listing fake mystery shopping roles or fake government and postal roles. In these cases, scammers will say you have to pay them in order to get certified to take the job or to get access to a directory of jobs. Clearly, a huge no.
Seriously, anytime somebody asks you for money up front for that, you should be very wary. Number two, work from home scams. Given the fact that there's a huge appetite for work from home jobs, bad guys out there have found ways to scam people in a number of ways. One of them is the so-called reshipping scam, and this is crazy. So there are job posts that are for quality control managers or virtual assistants, and what happens is you get hired and your job is to receive shipments to your home, repackage them, and reship them to a new address, often overseas. What happens is that merchandise, it's usually high-priced stuff like electronics, and they're bought using stolen credit cards. So people who get into these reshipping scams report not getting paid. So imagine, you're out of your own money, and you're dealing in stolen goods. What the hell?
Damn it, it's just horrible.
Crazy. And then the other type of work from home scam involves reselling merchandise. Victims are told that they can make money by buying brand name products for less than retail, and then you can flip them for a profit. But after you pay for the products, you never get the stuff. So talk about getting absolutely nothing for good money that you put up front. That's insane. Oh, people are just so unscrupulous out there.
Special place in hell for people like this. Okay, number three. Fake check scams. So these are scams that usually involve job postings for nannies, caregivers, virtual personal assistants, where the scammer will send you a check, you have to deposit it, and they will ask you to return some or all of the money because you have to cover startup equipment, or they accidentally overpaid you, they make something up, so you have to send stuff back to them. Scammers hope you'll send the money back to them before the bank alerts you that their check has bounced. So at that point, you're either out of money you've sent or you'll be required to pay the bank back. Either way, you're screwed because you've been scammed.
It's not an easy to understand thing, but when you break it down, you're like, oh, wow, these fuckers. they really try to find every little way to scam people out of money.
Yes.
Now, the FBI says that there are some warning signs to look out for during the hiring process, and we're going to take you through those quickly. So number one, if the interviews are not conducted in person or through a secure video call, but rather on a teleconferencing app, using an email address instead of a phone number, or through some text app or some way where you're not looking at the person, yeah, that's kind of a red flag.
Danger.
Another point is when an employer contacts potential candidates through non-company email domains or teleconference applications. So that's another telltale sign. If you're interviewing with ABC company and you don't get an email from somebody whose email address matches that company name, they're using a generic Yahoo or Gmail or whatever, that's usually a red flag as to, wait, why isn't somebody officially from the company reaching out to me, right? So another point that you should look out for is when potential employers require employees to purchase startup equipment from the company or pay for background screenings. You should never have to pay for something upfront during an interview process. Also related to that point is if a potential employer requests credit card information or your bank information before you've even been hired. Never, ever, ever disclose that. And lastly, think through if a recruiter or a manager doesn't have a profile on LinkedIn or the job platform that you're looking at, or if the profile doesn't seem to fit their role, that's also a red flag that you should look out for.
So while researching this topic, we stumbled upon the story of Callie Heim, who was a victim of the fake check scam and other things that we said on the list, actually. So here's our enlightening, very eye-opening conversation with Callie Heim. Welcome, Kelly Heim. We are so excited to have you here on the show.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes. And we have done so much research on this topic. It's one thing to read the headlines, you know, all the stats, but it's very different when you put a face to it and you actually connect with somebody who's lived through it. It just makes it that much more real, right? How about you tell us a little bit about how this happened, giving us some context, like how old you are, where you were, and this process of like of your career or your studies?
Yeah, of course. So I just graduated from school. I'm like on LinkedIn, and in college, they push it. They're like, you need to get on LinkedIn. You need to post on LinkedIn. You need to apply to jobs on LinkedIn. So I was applying to a bunch on LinkedIn using that easy apply button. It's so tempting to just click through there because you're like, wait, I don't have to do a cover letter. This is so easy and convenient.
Yeah.
But was I doing a ton of research at the time? No. I was just trying to apply to a lot of jobs and hoping something was going to hit. And I got an email probably like 3 weeks into my search. And it was from this company called Waymo. And I looked them up and they're like a big tech company. I think they're owned by Google. So like they're like a big California tech company. I was like,
you're like, score.
No, I was like, wait, this is kind of a slay. Yeah. So I'm like telling my friends, telling my dad, whatever. And also for context, I was coming off of like a really hard semester. So my mom passed away in my senior year of college.
I read that. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But it's just like, so I was looking for that good news. Like when you're really in a like a darker spot, it's really easy to like see the good and things and move, like you grasp onto that good stuff. So I got an email and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And what did that email say?
The email basically was like, we really liked your application and your resume, and we want to do an interview with you.
Okay.
So then I told them I was interested, and they sent over instructions. Download this app and enter in this code, and you're going to speak to this person, do your interview. And this is still like COVID time. So I was like, okay, that's just what we're doing now. Like, I don't know. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay. And so I like put in the interview code, and really looking back, they use the code so they keep track of who they're deceiving.
Essentially
I was talking to somebody who was impersonating a hiring manager, and he asked me a series of social media marketing specific questions relating to my experience, like literally looking at things on my resume, asking me to talk about those things. It seemed very legitimate.
Wow.
Right. So it seemed like a normal job interview.
Yeah.
I mean, so these scammers at least put in the effort. Let's give them credit for
that. They do. No. But from there, I answered all these questions, and it was all texting, though. It was all like messaging back and forth. So I hadn't spoken.
Wait.
Oh, so it wasn't like a call? It wasn't like a Zoom even?
Not yet.
Okay.
It starts off on this app called Wire. And this app is a messaging app, kind of like Microsoft Teams or Google Chat.
Okay.
And I didn't know at the time what it was because I was naive and I just downloaded the app to my phone, which is just stupid to even do that. But yeah, so I downloaded this app, and really after looking into it further, it's just like an encrypted messaging app. So you can never find out who's actually behind. Yeah. So that's where the first round interview was done. The next morning, I get a phone call that says, you've been selected to move on to the next round. Can we do a phone screen with you right now? I was like, right now? Like, okay, I just woke up. But anyway, so I do this phone screen. And they're asking me if I'm comfortable with a time tracking software on my computer. And for the equipment they're sending me, if I was okay with them sending it to me. And just like, the phone screen had nothing to do with like the actual job. They really were just trying to see if I was gullible.
Yeah,
then he basically was like, okay, thank you, we'll be in touch. Then I get another phone call the next day, and they give me the job. And then they were like, okay, we're going to move on with the onboarding process. We're going to send you a contract paperwork.
And again, when within COVID, everything changed, and people were just adapting and coming up with new processes. So it's easy at that point to say, well, maybe this is just the way they're doing it now.
Yes.
And also, can I assume, I mean, you said you're just out of college.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't have a lot of experience. Like, how many job interviews had you had prior to this whole situation?
I had some prior for internships and stuff like that, but they were in person because it was before all this happened. So
it's easy to go along with the idea of like, okay, this is how things are done now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also made it a point to like comfort any questions I was having about it by being like, oh, we're like a tech company and we do things a little different around here. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was offered the job and then they sent over a contract and it was like a 12-page contract that was watermarked with the Waymo logo on the bottom. And they said, you have to scan this, return it. And in the process of signing and scanning, they asked for direct deposit information. So I'm like, okay, how else are they going to pay me? So I give them all my banking information and I sent over to the front and back my driver's license. They had my address. They just had everything except my social security number. Thankfully, I did not send that over because it wasn't on the form. So honestly, if it was on the form, I would have sent it over.
Yeah, well, because they need your social security for tax withholding and all that other stuff. So you wouldn't have thought twice about it anyway, right?
Right. Yep, I get offered this job, send over the forms. They're like, thank you for sending that over. Let's get started with the onboarding. And then we're back on that Wire app. We're back on that app again. And I'm speaking to a different person, talking to me about downloading the software on the computer when I get it and explaining how that's going to work. It seemed real. I don't know. It seemed real.
That level of detail is mind-blowing.
Yeah, so then things start to get fishy when they're asking about this computer and the phone, and they're like, do you mind if we send you a check, money up front, essentially, for the equipment? And at first, I was like, okay, that's just how they're doing it. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, what's going on? Because by the time I see the check, it was black and white, pixelated image. It was horribly Photoshopped. My name was typed in a different font than every other thing on there.
So that was the first super, super red flag for you.
Yes. So I called my boyfriend who fortunately works in the cybersecurity space and he is very well trained in this industry, which is a blessing.
Oh, wow. Lucky for you.
Really? And he was like, what do you mean you did an interview on Wire? Callie, I'm like Googling Wire right now and the first thing that comes up is job scam. And he pulls up the article and it's literally somebody's exact same experience as me. At that point, I was like humiliated because I had already posted on LinkedIn that I got this job.
Oh, wow.
And I had already told friends and family that I got this job because I had already sent over the forms.
Yeah, to you were done.
Yeah, I thought it was a done deal. That turned everything upside down. I was literally devastated. I was just like, what do you mean it's fake? Like, I was trying to convince my boyfriend that he
was wrong.
That he was wrong, yeah. I was like, no, you don't understand. I've talked to this many people. I spoke to him on the phone. Even looking back on when I was talking to them on the phone, I had missed one call and I called them back and it took me to a call center and asked who I wanted to speak to. They're working together with a team to get us.
Okay, so what did you do when you finally came to the realization that like, oh, okay, crap, this is not what I thought it was. Like, what were the next steps? What'd you do?
Yeah, so once I actually figured out and came to terms with this is fake, I am not employed, like this is just humiliating, I was like, this is so embarrassing. Just completely, completely distraught. Like, what do I do? And my boyfriend, he said, go to the bank right now. You need to shut your account down.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I had never, before it happened to me, never heard of it, never thought it was a thing.
Yeah, neither did we. It was Eileen was the one that brought it up and she told me all about your case. And I was like, this is insane to me, especially because there's so many people out there who are in the job search process and feeling vulnerable or feeling frustrated. And like you said, maybe looking for a bit of good news, right?
Yeah.
And when you get an email like that, it's life-changing to you, right? You want to believe that it's true. And you might not be looking for the red flags because as you said, everything seems so legit up until the point, thank goodness, that your alarms went off in your head when you saw that check and you were able to put a stop to it. Were they able to get any money from you or were you able to stop it in time?
I got no money taken from me. But I just was so humiliated that I didn't tell anybody.
What led you to decide to go public with this?
So about 2 months after it happened, I was just frustrated and I read through LinkedIn every day and it was like people posting about jobs and about like troubles they were having. And I was like, okay, well, let me bring it to LinkedIn's attention. Basically, I explained everything that happened to me and then kind of like a PSA, beware, because this happened right here on this app. There's jobs that are duplicate jobs to real ones and they're trying to get money from you. And so I put it on there first.
Okay, great.
I love social media. I work in social media now. And I was like, okay, let me put this on TikTok and I can share it to even more people.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I did like a 3-part video, very detailed. And I had probably, I think, 1 million views the first day.
Wow.
People were commenting, this has happened to me.
Yeah.
Or like, this has happened to me and I'm so embarrassed. Like, I haven't talked about it. When somebody takes advantage of you like that, I don't want to bring attention to it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I got to a point that I was like, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. This can happen to anybody. Let me warn people.
Yeah.
Callie, did you try to get in touch with any of the people or quote unquote people that you had spoken with? Or did you like ignore it and just once you knew that your money was safe...
I didn't even put this on TikTok. Once I found out that this person scammed me, I like messaged him and I was like, you're a piece of shit. And I caught you. And literally the tone completely shifted and he was cursing at me. I was like, okay, block, 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 block.
Wow. Well, now I'm curious, what advice do you give to your friends or colleagues? Like given everything you've been through, what advice would you give to people who are looking for jobs online and applying through all these easy apply? Let's go.
One, I would say keep an eye out. They intentionally put typos in the documents to see if you'll pass through the first level of obliviousness. They want you to be eager.
Yeah.
And I looked back and all of my documents had typos in them. Obvious ones.
And it's just, again, it's preying on people who are eager, people like you, that you were in a especially dark place at the moment looking for signals of something positive. And what pieces of shit.
They are.
And I'm so sorry that happened to you. But I believe that this all brought something positive for you. Yes? Do you want to tell us what that led to?
Yes. So when I went viral on this, a few days after it was posted, I got an email. Well, I got an influx of emails, messages, but one really stuck out to me. And this girl, her name's Allegra. And she said, I actually have a position that is very similar to this. It's a remote position. We really like how you talked about this. And we want to give you an interview. The stars aligned and I love the company and I'm still there now. And I do the social media for them now.
Wow.
Really? I got a job out of it. So that's my silver lining.
Good karma. You put yourself out there and look, good things can happen.
It all worked out the way it was supposed to, but it's just hard to see that when you're like humiliated. I look back and laugh at it. But it is important to stay vigilant because they don't care if it's an entry-level position or a mid-level. They are trying to get your money.
Don't download weird apps.
Also, I mean, I would think also like applying directly on the company's website.
I was just about to say that.
Well, thank you so, so much for sharing your story.
This has been great, Callie. We really appreciate you telling us your story and being so honest and funny about it. It takes a lot of courage to do what you did. And yeah. It worked out for you, which is why we are so thrilled for you, so happy for you.
Well, thank you so much. I had so much fun talking to you guys.
And just like at the end, when we wrap up later, we're going to send you a check. So please cash it and then we'll get back to you. Now, if you lost money in a job scam, you can report it to the Federal Trade Commission at reportfraud.ftc.gov.
Absolutely. To end this episode on a high note, we wanted to share some words of wisdom from our former guest and recruiting guru, Daniel Space, also known on social media as Dan from HR.
I love Dan because his comments are always so spot on. He really knows his shit and he doesn't sugarcoat anything. So let's hear what he has to say. And you might want to set your podcast now at 0.5 because Dan speaks really, really fast.
Hi, Lena, Glenda, and all Surfing Corporate listeners. It's Dan from HR here. I am very aware of this situation of job scams and ghost posts, and it drives me nuts. It really sucks and can be very frustrating for people applying to jobs, but just the fact that you're aware of this is a step in the right direction. So one of the newest sort of scams that we saw, which is absolutely horrifying, is that you'll get LinkedIn recruiters. So you'll get like an inbox message and a recruiter will say, hey, we have this open role. I think you'd be a great fit for it. But when I looked at your resume in LinkedIn, it's not that great. If you want, I know that the hiring manager would really like, you know, would really want to move forward with you. I can quickly redo your resume for like $100 and then submit it. And they're a complete scam artist. You should never, ever, ever pay for any type of application. If you can't find what the company does, one of the best parts about LinkedIn is that companies link to their pages. So this is one of the great ways that you could just navigate a lot of the LinkedIn features to verify and validate that these posts are accurate and real. The less that's filled out, the less comprehensive it is. The likelier it is that it is a scam post. One of the newest ways, by the way, to determine if something is either a scam post is if you get offered the job right away. There's no company that moves that fast based solely on an application. If it is too good to be true, it is. So every single company that is valid and legitimate will follow some sort of process. All of us are bound by the same regulations as it relates to how we treat candidates, meaning that every application has to be on file. Every candidate has to have the same level of access into an open role. So all of these are good indicators of making sure that a post is valid, that a role is valid, and that a company is valid. I do know that bad players are always out there in every field, and it does suck. But in all honesty, the job search market has actually substantially improved. We got an extra 500,000 new roles, I think, landed in April. Our unemployment numbers went down again. We are seeing a significant lift. I'm starting to see my newsfeed. Instead of everyone saying, hey, I need help, hey, I got laid off, I'm seeing offer after offer. Making sure that your resume and LinkedIn is up to date, making sure that you're optimizing your LinkedIn to be discovered through passive search by making sure that like your headline is up to date with the job title and specific family that you want with some of the industries, and then make sure that your keyword loaded in your About Me section. So that when recruiters are looking for roles, that you have all of the things that the title and that your job family does so that you can increase your discoverability. Make sure that you are consistently investing in your network by adding people that have the job title you want and companies you want to work for, by adding recruiters in your industry and in those companies, and really just making sure that you're present on LinkedIn with like a good banner and profile photo, because all of these do help to be discovered through passive search. It is a much better job market than it was in the beginning of the year. So thanks everyone and good luck. If you want to connect further with me, you can reach out to me here, Daniel Space on LinkedIn. Follow me on all my socials, primarily on TikTok, which is Dan from HR. And thank you again for having me.
Always awesome to listen to his words of wisdom.
Thank you so much, Dan from HR.
Today's episode of Surfing Corporate was produced and edited by Eileen Mercier.
And made better by the always poignant comments of Glenda Pakenins, queen of PowerPoint decks, mother of corporate jargon.
Oh my God. Our production intern is Stephanie Hill de Zucker.
If you like this episode, hit the follow button. I sound like a YouTuber. Smash that follow button and give us a 5-star rating, people.
Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at surfingcorporate.com.
And follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Thank you so much for listening.
Please don't get scammed. Be careful out there. But stay hopeful.
Stay optimistic. But there's a lot of assholes out there. See you next time, corporate surfers. Hang in there.